If you don't feel Easter-y after that, you're not trying. The Easter story, as told by Luke, is all of 10 sentences. Those of you who are lovers of the English language might have noticed that 3 of the 10 begin with the word but. I remember my 8th grade English teacher warning us that you should never, never start a sentence with that word. Never begin a sentence with a conjunction, was her famous injunction, unless you're very sure that what you have to say after that is very important. Well, Luke has something important to say. As Luke tells it, they came to the tomb early and found the stone rolled away. They didn't find a body. 2 men in dazzling clothing greeted them and said, "He is not here, he is risen." Reactions to the empty tomb were terror, confusion, doubt. The women ran to tell the 11, and the 11 responded in disbelief. Actually, the word is translated more accurately, I think, as mistrust. They're highly suspicious and choose to receive the news as an idle tale. Now, we who are skeptical modern-day Christians understand how those early ones perceived the empty tomb. It is a fair amount of information to absorb. No wonder Luke portrays them as being terrorized and confused and doubtful. But there was at least one other emotion at play on that day. The last person we read of in Luke's story is Peter. And Peter receives the news with wonder. The wonder of Peter was the same sort of wonder as the shepherds at the birth of Jesus. The same sort of wonder the disciples must have felt when they looked and they saw Jesus walking out on the water, or healing the paralytic, or upon hearing the story of the prodigal son for the first time. We're getting warm now. Wonder is as good as it gets in the story told by Luke. Now this day, this Easter morning, we don't need to sit here and linger over whether we are empty tomb or resurrection of the body Christians, or agnostic skeptics, or even believing literalists. We can embrace the unexpected story of God who would raise Jesus up, bringing joy and hope and promise into a world which only days before was stuck on Friday. Today I want to be willing to be dazzled. I want to shake off the bonds of earth and lift my eyes up to heaven in hope. Preaching on Good Friday is always a very moving, very emotional experience for me. And I remember distinctly about 1 year back when I was serving the church in Burlington, Iowa. All of our community churches gathered together and we did a 3-hour service where we went from one church to the next to the next. And we ended this long and laborious, depressing service up in the Catholic Church. And we stood right under the life-size crucifix. And I have to tell you that by the time it was over, I had had enough Good Friday. But it was funny because then on the way out of the service, after all the people had left, my friend, the priest of the parish, took me through a tiny hallway behind the crucifix. And as we turned the corner, I saw something that took my breath away. Pinned along that narrow hallway were hundreds of early flowering plants. There were tulips and lilies and hyacinths and hydrangeas. hiding out on Good Friday. My friend whispered to me, he said, Easter joy is only a breath away. Now, most of our Easter sermons speculate about the nature of the resurrection and the individual person of Jesus. Was it a literal event, a spiritual experience, a unique miracle, a symbolic statement about the way the Christian community experienced the abiding presence of Jesus? When we concentrate on that singular question, we fail to imagine what a resurrected society would be like. We fail to imagine a community governed by that spirit of love. We forget that Christianity is not just about the salvation of individuals, but about a whole people of God. What would it be like if people of faith flooded the world with an active, faith-filled, joyful imagination? I came across an editorial by a man by the name of Thomas Friedman of the New York Times called Awaking to a Dream. In it, he writes about being ready for a positive surprise. It's been so long since something really wonderful has surprised our world. Well, today is a day which promises that wonder and joy and new life, fresh hope to even the most cynical of cynics. It's a day to approach the world with a resurrection imagination. But just imagine for a moment the Israelis and the Palestinians lining up on opposite sides of the street and walking towards each other to the middle of the road, laying their weapons down and reaching out their hands and their arms to each other in handshakes and embraces. They're weeping, and their tears would wash away the generations of anger and rage that each had been holding toward the other. On a balcony overlooking the city, their leaders would be inspired and walk back into their offices side by side and get to work. Just imagine the leaders of both political parties in this country pledging to lead our country into a place where we've created a society where prejudice is unheard of, where homelessness and poverty are only memories of the past. Imagine that. Imagine a resurrected world in which there's plenty of water and food in Africa and medicine for fighting AIDS sent from all over the world, cheap and easily obtainable. Imagine a world where Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and Christians and Hindus get together to celebrate each other's high holy days as well as observing their own rites. There is among them a celebration of the one God who reigns over all religions of the world. A God who is fair and just, a God whose name is love. I pray for the day when all the tears will be wiped away, and we shall behold this new heaven and this new earth. This is a world of prayerful possibility. The lion lies down with the lamb. The poor are filled up with good things. And the creation groans with the ecstatic fullness. Easter is God's most radical, most extreme, most decisive answer to prayer. And what is prayer but the power of our imagination in petition to God? This is the Easter we need. To let our imaginations and our spirits soar with the news that the world can be reborn into hope. It can be reborn into possibility. This is the day that the world as we know it, a world in which death and sin and betrayal have carried the day, a world in which wounds are deep and suffering is real. This world has been overturned by the power and the grace and the love of God. The news we celebrate today is that the death does not have the ultimate dominion over us. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God we know in the resurrected Christ Jesus. Thomas Merton was a deeply religious monk who wrote this. He said, "Let us recognize who we are. Dervishes mad with secret love, which cannot be bought or sold, and which politicians fear more than violent revolution. For violence changes nothing, and love changes everything." Today's the day that love changes everything. God's love for the world, our love and hope for the world, are all reflective of the life and the faith of Jesus. And on this day of resurrection, I pray that our love for each other and our hope for the world will be a start of new life and new peace in our world. May it be so. Amen.